Our gospel today is from Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, verses 15 through 22. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. "Teacher," they said, "we know you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, "Whose portrait is this, and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." When they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and went away. The gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Let's pray. Father, thank you very much for your trustworthy and true word. Thank you that it's been passed on so faithfully and so well for so many generations. Bless us as we ponder it more in this time and live it out in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So often people will frame a question and it will be said in such a way that there's only two answers according to the questioner. Jesus didn't fall for that trap. It's a very common thing that people will do. No matter which of the two opinions they were to give, an answer to that question, you can't win. You cannot win or accurately state your answer because it's a trap. The Pharisees and the Herodians we hear about in the gospel today, they were actually enemies. And so isn't it interesting that these enemies to each other join together as an enemy against Jesus? They came with that question. You know, thinking about the context too, they're occupied, of course, by Rome. They have a foreign government controlling them, a puppet government that's there, set up by that foreign government. And the question is, do you pay taxes to that foreign government? Do you pay taxes to a government that is ungodly and that owns you, so to speak, controls you? Should we pay taxes or not? Us? Well, we know that, yeah. It's not really a question of our day, is it? That's not the question that's being asked as much, though we would like not to pay taxes, and we wouldn't mind having that extra money for ourselves or for other endeavors. But we know that we should pay taxes because, obviously, Jesus said so. Even if it is to a government that is slightly corrupted, or very corrupted, or evil. Even to a foreign power that is an enemy occupying government. This is what we learn from Jesus. The Pharisees and the Herodians handed a Roman coin to Jesus. We aren't told how long it took, but they brought to him that coin. Jesus, in his ever so subtle but profound way of revealing truth, said this. He said, "Whose portrait is this and whose inscription?" They said, "Caesar's," right away. Now, did they have that coin on them? Apparently, they did. And to have a coin on them shows that they've already bought into the system. They're using money that has images on it, which would be against the second commandment, according to how they counted them then. And we count it as the first. We don't have Caesar's name on our money. But there is an image and inscription on our money, isn't there? Let's not mention coins, since that doesn't really equate to what they're talking about, denarius for the day, which would be a day's wage. But what's closer is the paper money, right? So if you ask almost anyone today whose inscription and whose name is on their money, they may not be able to answer which president is, because Well, after all, don't a lot of people use plastic today? And they don't even look at their money. You know, it would be very, I did not pass this test. I was going to ask you, okay, who's on a $1 bill? George Washington. Who's on a $5 bill? Good. How about a $10 bill? Alexander Hamilton. I would not have gotten that. How about a $20 bill? Andrew Jackson. How about a $50 bill? Right. How about Ben Franklin is on what dollar bill? 100, that's what's left. Well, you know, we know, may not know the president, but we know whose inscription in terms of who it belongs to, right? What's on all that money? United States of America, right? The first half of Jesus' answer was given to Caesar. It was this: give to Caesar what is Caesar's. We are to pay taxes. That's clear. That's not really the question that's being asked. We are to be blameless regarding taxes. And if we have not, we must repent and make things right. The second half of Jesus' answer is so subtle, but so powerful. I think a very low percentage of people would be able to understand Jesus' answer today without explanation. Jesus' last half of his answer was, and to God, what is God's? Right? Give to God what is God's. By inference, Jesus is asking these questions. He's asking this: whose portrait and image do you have on you? Whose portrait and image do you have on you? Whose inscription is on you? We know that we're to give to God what is God's. We also know in Psalm 24:1 that God owns everything, right? He owns everything and all the world and all that is in it. But every human being bears the image of God. Every human being bears the image of God. Whether people admit it or not, God said in his holy word in Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and of the birds of the air and over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And incidentally, as a side here, note that there are only two genders, male and female. What does God's image mean? It's very important to take a question like this in context. In context, it has to do with, in Genesis, the subduing of the earth. God said, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the every living creature that moves on the ground. That's the main difference between human beings and animals, is that we're made in God's image and we are to rule over them. So that is part of what God's likeness is. It's to rule, to have dominion. In Genesis 2, 15 to 17, we learn that God puts limits, boundaries in the garden, that God gave one command: you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. I think this is another similarity we have, a difference when we're made in the image of God, is that we can choose between good and evil. We have morals. Animals, they don't, they just do what they do. Though a lot of people are going to say, well, Aunt, my dog loves me. That might be true. I'm not going to go against that. Your cat doesn't. No. But the whole idea is that we sometimes put our things on animals. We anthropomorphize them. Is that the right word? Make them into human-like things. But not knocking animals, not knocking pets. Just saying, we are different. We can choose to do good, to do evil. Also behind God giving freedom to those to do so, they have the freedom to choose. And we're not robots, we're not locked in, you know, It's possible for us to choose because we have freedom from God. Part of the image of God, I think, is this too, is the capacity to love, the capacity to sacrifice. One theologian named Guzik said, "Everyone has the image of God impressed upon them. This means that we belong to God, not to Caesar, or not even to ourselves." Did you catch that? I cannot help but think, if you will allow me to say this, to think of an abortion argument that I've heard. A woman may say, "I can do what I want with my own body." But really, her body isn't her body. Her body belongs to God, who made it, but it has been hijacked by Satan. But we know that God has sent his son Jesus to redeem it. And for that very reason, her body is not hers. Not only is her body not her body, but the small human being, that small baby living within her body, is not her body. That baby has a separate, unique genetic code. That womb is to be the safest place for a baby to grow. That's why God placed it there. That baby also belongs to God, though it is dependent upon her for life, for a time. Both the woman and the small human life in her were both made in the image of God. Therefore, each has its own intrinsic value. Thus saying, "You shall not kill" or "murder" is the fifth commandment. You know, also, I think it's important to point out, you know, we in schools or in our families or in society, we hear the term self-image, you know, how a person views himself, self-image. That is really not accurate for Christians to talk about. It should be rather is, do we see ourselves as having a God image? We are made in the image of God, and therefore we need to remember that and see that, because if we do, the self-image, which is based upon our accomplishments or what other people say about us, is pushed down and lifted up, is the idea that we are made in the image of God. Therefore, we have great value. Though somehow all human beings are affected and infected by sin, there is still this image of God on us. We see that even after Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3, even after the fall and after the worldwide flood, which we're going to talk about in Sunday school today, God spoke in Genesis 9 to Noah and his family. And what did he say? "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made man." So even after the flood, even after the fall, even after the flood, man still is considered by God to have the image of God, to be made in the image of God. The image of God is not mentioned until later in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul's letter in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, but Paul also wrote about Jesus in Colossians 1:15 about the image of God. Listen to this. Speaking of Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. How is our being made in the image of God different from Jesus being made in the image of God? That's time for another discussion, I'm sure. But the emphasis is that Jesus too is made in the image of God, his body. And we know that he is the very representation of God too. We know from what was said, "Give to God what belongs to God," that is speaking about us. We know that's also speaking about all the things which we have. All these are to be given to God. Then things are in the right hands. When it's considered ours, we don't do what is right with it. We twist it. We pervert it. We distort it. We are to give ourselves to God. Of course, we do this only because we are moved by the power of the Holy Spirit to do so. It is God who draws us to himself. It is God who accomplishes these things in us. How can you give yourself to God? If we're supposed to do that, Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. How do we do that? Number one, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Asking God the Holy Spirit to make that happen. And secondly, we're to understand that we are made in the image of God. Thirdly, we're to humbly admit that we have sinned. We've fallen short. And fourthly, to acknowledge that we have been bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6 talks about this. It's a context of physicalness. He said, you were bought with a price, therefore honor God with your body. Your body, your body, your body, your body, everybody's body has been bought with a price by God. You have been bought with a price by Jesus. Therefore, we should honor God with our body because we are made in the image of God. Therefore, you are not your own. He goes on to say, you don't belong to yourself. I don't belong to myself. We did not create ourselves. We did not save ourselves. And we do not sustain ourselves. Those are all actions of Almighty God. Look how marvelous and awesome our God is to have accomplished these things. How great and awesome is our God. You belong to Him. I belong to Him. We are to give ourselves to Him daily. Why does it say we have to give ourselves? Because you know what? We keep taking back. You know, we keep doing our own thing. As Jesus said about the sparrows, are you not of more value than they? Surely He is going to take care of us. Surely He will. We are made in the image of God. And Jesus came to save us. He came to give us hope and to remind us that we are His. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank You very much that You have made us in Your image. You've given us capacity to love and be loved. You've given us capacity to worship. Help us to do that, God. Help us to live our lives for You, to give ourselves to You daily. Because we so often try to take ourselves back, to run to show ourselves. But Lord, we pray that You will direct us. And then we will follow Your lead and believe what You say, that You have made us in Your image. And we have great value. We thank You for that, God, and we praise You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.